It's 7:30 on This West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Retired coal miner James Lilly supported Nick Rahal in his congressional re-election bid and was there to console the longtime incumbent on his loss.
I worked in the coal field for 31 years, okay? And Nick Rahal was for coal. And I don't care what anybody says. He was portrayed to be somebody he wasn't.
The story coming up on This West Virginia Morning. Last night, Shelley Moore Capito made history, becoming the first woman to be elected to the U.S. Senate from West Virginia. Roxy Todd reports that the uncertain future of the coal industry was one of the main issues for her supporters.
So it is my honor to introduce Senator-elect Shelley Moore Capito.
Charles Capito, Shelley Moore's oldest son, introduced her mother as she made her victory speech.
I want to be the first to share with you how optimistic I am about our future. Around the state today, West Virginia came together and made their voices heard to tell Washington that we can do better. It is the first time in nearly 60 years that we've sent a Republican to the United States Senate.
Young and old Republican supporters were overflowing with joy at the speech. 23-year-old Phil Fisher, a native of Charleston, said the number one issue for him is protecting the coal industry.
Just right now, it's just a feeling of elation. It's a feeling of pride. The coal industry is the economic foundation of West Virginia's economy. Like, there is no plan to substitute that foundation with anything.
After her speech, Capito talked about West Virginia's struggling coal industry.
Oh, I think we're going to have a big discussion on coal because obviously a lot of the races that were affected this time had a lot of coal interests. Kentucky, Colorado, and Montana, Alaska. And we'll see what happens, but I think we've got to get our coal miners back to work. I do.
Around the room, many people were still holding their Capito for Senate signs 2 hours after the race was called. Clutching those signs, they too spoke with hope that the future of the coal industry can now get back on track. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Roxy Todd in Charleston.
Shortly after Capito's victory speech in Charleston, Secretary of State Natalie Tennant, the Democrat in that race, appeared to concede. Ashton Mara spent the evening with Tennant's camp and files this report.
Hey, go, go! Thank you!
Hours before the polls closed last night, Secretary of State Natalie Tennant was confident she could pull out a win for West Virginia's open Senate seat, despite the fact that recent polls showed her in a double-digit deficit.
I feel great. I really do. This is has been a wonderful day leading up to it. We've had great enthusiasm, and as we've said all along, it's going to be on the ground. It's going to be with volunteers like this and folks who are getting out to vote, and that's what's going to win this race.
Her enthusiasm on the corner of Washington and Brooks Streets in downtown Charleston, though, was short-lived.
A mere seconds after the polls closed in West Virginia, the Associated Press called the race for Congresswoman Shelley Moore Capito. The mood here at Natalie Tennant's after-party, quiet. A few folks milling around, but most shaking their heads.
Other national news outlets soon followed the AP's call. Fox News, CBS, even ABC News called for Capito before 7:45.
West Virginia has not been voting Democrat.
It's just not a Democratic state anymore.
That was ABC's David Muir and George Stephanopoulos. Tennant appeared around 8:30 at the Sheraton in Charleston to thank the few dozen supporters who showed up to her event. She entered the room to Garth Brooks' song, How You Ever Gonna Know, alluding to the lyrics in her concession speech.
How you ever gonna know unless you try? How you ever going to know that we're going to stand up for the working people of West Virginia? How you ever going to know that we're going to do right by the people of West Virginia unless you try? And as I look around the room, I see that we have that and we try. Because yes, here in West Virginia, we do have challenges. There's no doubt about it. We have plenty of challenges. At the same time, we have incredible, incredible opportunities. And that's what I saw. I saw promise and possibilities, and how you ever going to know you're going to reach them unless you go for it, right? And that's what you did with me.
The secretary thanked her family, staff, the voters, and even the third-party candidates for participating in the race. She wished the best to Congresswoman Capito in the Senate, but ended by reminding the room that this is not the end for her.
This tonight is not an end. It's only a beginning. And I have said that West Virginia's story all along is my story. And I am proud and I look forward to continuing to writing the next chapter as your Secretary of State.
Tenet did not take questions from reporters after her race was finalized last night, so no word on any future bids for office, but many speculate Tenet will once again throw her hat into the ring for governor in 2016. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
And the outcome of that race, Capito won by 62% to Natalie Tenet's 34%. In the 1st Congressional District, incumbent Republican David McKinley celebrated a win early in the evening. Glennis Board brings us this report.
A crowd gathered in Morgantown enthusiastically anticipating election results. Naturally, there were many elephants in the room at the McKinley camp. Several bursts of approval spilled out into the street throughout the evening as Republican wins were announced. The big moment they were all waiting for came early. Incumbent Republican David McKinley addressed several of his campaign workers and supporters after he pulled far enough ahead to be reasonably sure that the race would be called in his favor.
This party, they're rejecting what was happening in Washington and happening from around the country. They're saying, we want to see something different.
McKinley spoke about bipartisanship and building bridges in the same breath as fighting regulations and administrative overreach.
I'm honored to be able to go back to Washington and continue this fight because we're not finished. We're just not finished. Tonight is where we begin, Kent. I mean this very sincerely. We start to rebuild America. We've had 6 years of devastating effects on the regulatory, the overreach that's happened in this administration. Now we're going to have it. We picked up 3 seats, maybe 4 or 5 on the Senate side. I think we're going to get there if everything keeps going right. This is how we rebuild America.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glennis Board in Morgantown.
And in that race, David McKinley won by 64% to Glenn Gaynor's 36%. Republican Alex Mooney took the 2nd congressional district seat against his opponent, Democrat Nick Casey. Liz McCormick reports.
I give you Congressman-elect Alex Mooney.
The enthusiasm at the Mooney's campaign post-election party in Charlestown was anything but quiet. As soon as the polls closed at 7:30, supporters showed up in droves. Throughout the evening, the vote tally between Mooney and Casey remained close, but the Republican supporters never faltered in confidence.
Alex, Alex,
during the race for the 2nd congressional district seat, Mooney received some criticism from West Virginians for not being a native of the state. But Mooney says he chose West Virginia because he felt connected to it.
Many of you know, my family and I are West Virginians by choice, and we love this state. West Virginia is our home. We love the natural beauty all around us. We love the friendly, welcoming citizens, and we love that West Virginians are principled fighters.
Brett Herbeck, one of the many Mooney supporters, had this to say about Mooney's change in venue.
Maryland wasn't very welcoming to him, so he found a place that he would be able to identify with and be able to represent in a better capacity because his value system and values are West Virginia values.
With Mooney's win, the 2nd congressional district seat remains red. The seat was previously held by Shelley Morcapito for 14 years. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Liz McCormick in Charlestown.
And Jessica Lilly was in Charleston with Democratic candidate Nick Casey and his supporters.
Democrat Nick Casey appeared to trail slightly as the early numbers began to roll in. Still, the evening began with enthusiasm as supporters rolled into campaign headquarters. Martin Castleberry from South Charleston joined Casey and his supporters to watch the results roll in. Castleberry considers Casey to be a friend of the family and says they go way back.
Win or lose, you stick with your friends.
Other supporters stay true to the Democrat as Casey took the podium to deliver the concession speech.
Every time we go anywhere, you know, always start off everything with this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank each and every one of you for all you've done. It is amazing to go out and watch 100-some folks out there, good, true West Virginians, canvassing around for us, folks working this telephone for months. People working 12-hour days for the last 30 days.
In the end, Casey says he wouldn't have done anything differently and encourages supporters to keep pride in West Virginia.
So I ask you to do one thing. Stay invested in this state. Don't feel like this is a loss. Feel like this is just another opportunity as we face other opportunities to go forward. Because like we've always said, it's a big boat, and all of us, surely all in this room and all the folks who supported me, all in this boat together. So I'll keep rowing together for the future, and let me end it like I began. Thank you.
Casey hurried to the back after the speech. Several of the supporters expressed their disappointment not only in Casey's race, but also races across the state as Democrats lose several political seats on a national and state level. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jessica Lilly in Charleston.
And Alex Mooney won the race 47% to Nick Casey's 44%. After switching parties in the spring, Evan Jenkins will now head to D.C. after pulling off what could be a monumental upset. Clark Davis has the story.
Well, folks, the good news is the Associated Press has just called this race and we're a winner.
Jenkins unseats Nick Rahal from the 3rd Congressional District seat after a reign that lasted 38 years. Jenkins began his political career as a member of the House in 1994 and elected to the Senate in 2002. Even though he defeated a longtime member of Congress, in his victory speech, Jenkins says he appreciates what Rahal did for the state.
I am excited about having the opportunity to now, with the voter support, which I am so appreciative of, to start fighting for our West Virginia ways, our West Virginia values, to bring leadership to Washington.
Jenkins was initially a Republican and switched to the Democratic Party in 1993 to run for the House of Delegates. In July of 2013, he announced he was switching back to the Republican Party to run against Rahal. And that switch and subsequent win will put Jenkins in the majority side.
But Speaker Boehner, who campaigned for me this past week, has already reached out to me. I'm looking forward to being a part of the team that's going to be in control, that's where the decisions are going to be made. And I am looking forward to being in that majority caucus, fighting tooth and nail for the people of West Virginia.
Jenkins says he wants to see changes happen when it comes to how Washington is dealing with West Virginia, and specifically Southern West Virginia.
We need to get the war on coal stopped. We need to get our coal miners back to work. We need to get investment in infrastructure, get our roads built that we've been waiting so long to see. You know, money is tight, but we can fight tooth and nail and make sure that we get the investment in Southern West Virginia.
The race was called a little after 10 o'clock. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
Incumbent 3rd District Congressman Nick Rahal fell to Jenkins by 10 percentage points. Suzanne Higgins reports.
The gathering at Congressman Nick Rahal's home became increasingly more quiet as news reports came in favoring his challenger. Around 10 o'clock, the 19-term member of the U.S. House of Representatives spoke to supporters and reporters with a smile, but with tears in his eyes. He thanked his family, friends, and volunteers.
For 38 years, I've dedicated my life to public service. I would not change one thing. I would continue to represent West Virginia values. I will continue to do that. This may end one chapter in my life, but it starts another chapter.
Rahal's challenger painted him as anti-coal, which the congressman seemed to address without mentioning Evan Jenkins by name.
I will continue to have the concerns and the every breath of my day will be worried about our coal jobs and our coal miners, those brave individuals that go beneath the bowels of the earth to extract the energy for our country and our state.
James Lilly, a retired coal miner, was among the group of supporters.
I worked in the coal field for 31 years, okay? And Nick Rahal was for coal. And I don't care what anybody says. He was portrayed to be somebody he wasn't.
Greg Christ is a Rahal 3rd District representative and said outside money sealed the fate of the campaign.
It's kind of sad when you look and see that this outside money influenced it so much. And
you know, the truth got skewed a lot, and people don't often pay, they don't search deep enough for their facts. And, you know, I think this is a referendum against President Obama, and I think a lot of the money that come in here just is just overwhelming, you know. I mean, millions of dollars, you know, and that's hard to beat.
65-year-old Ray Hall was first elected to Congress in 1976 at the age of 27, making him one of the youngest members to serve in the U.S. House of Representatives. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Suzanne Higgins in Beckley.
And to wrap all of this up this morning, Dr. Robert Rupp, political science professor at West Virginia Wesleyan College, joins us on the phone this morning. Rob, good morning.
Good morning. What a historic election.
Now, I guess in history will be known as the Republican sweep of 2014. As you listen to all the voices during our program, what are your kind of general thoughts?
Well, it was a sweep. The Republican wave hit the Mountain State. You know, West Virginia has been known as being red at the top and blue at the bottom. But in this case, it was red all the way mm-hmm. through, you know, all the way from the Senate down to the delegates. Mm-hmm. It was a Republican year. We have to go back to 1930. The Democrats took control in one election. They won almost 40 seats in 1930. In the House of Delegates, and they kept that majority until now. Let's go back to 1930, Beth. Herbert Hoover was president, and Babe Ruth was playing baseball. That's how long the Democrats have held the House of Delegates. And now, of course, we have a tie in the Senate. So this was really a historic election.
And that was a surprise. We talked a lot about the possible flip of the House of Delegates, but the Senate was never in play in terms of talking about this election, was it?
No, and we'll look back, we'll probably find that we already knew that the Republicans had good candidates and a good organization was in place. So those pieces were there, but also, you know, the overwhelming metaphor was a war on coal, and you just can't win one house. It goes over to the other house, and major Republican victories across the state.
Mm-hmm. So we talked a lot about your students' project in terms of tracking the House of Delegates races and making predictions and actually being graded on how correct they were. So how did your students do last night?
Well, they got almost 90% of the they called correctly. However, the ones they didn't, and they initially had predicted that the Democrats would retain control, so they were off on that. But they're judged on the individual races and how they did in the predictions on that. Mm-hmm. The key thing, Beth, is that they did a whole lot of work, 100 races, 170 candidates that they researched, and I think that they found out about the electoral process, and hopefully someday they'll be participants as candidates.
I see. So we move forward in 2 years. It'll be 2016. The Republican sweep will continue?
Well, what's important here is in 1930, the state in one election, of 40 delegates changed hands. In one election, the state flipped. What we had here is double digits, and this is the first time since the 1800s that you had a party gain double digits in successive elections. So, Beth, I would say the narrative is part of this transition from a Democratic dominance to a competitive party system, and the Republicans are gaining. So I think we have to get ready, and the good news is we're going to have a party competition on the state level for at least the next 3 elections.
All right. Dr. Rob Rupp, political science professor at West Virginia Wesleyan College, thank you for joining us last night and this morning.
Thank you.
You can hear a full recap of Election 2014 on our weekly political talk show, Viewpoint, this Friday at 9, right here on West Virginia Public Radio. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.